of going through the book of Malachi, and I've entitled that book, I Love You, Do You Love Me? But today, we're going to do a little shift. And, you know, we can always say, we can say, probably every one of us in here, yes, I love God. Yes, I love God. Well, this passage of Scripture that we're going to visit today is basically, I love you, do you trust me? I love you, do you trust me? So that's a little bit different than loving God. Sometimes we can say, I love you, Lord, but then we are hesitant to trust Him in areas of our lives. And so we're going to be... I'm excited today. We're going to be talking about finances. Everybody would like to have more finances, I'm sure. Okay? And so many times, the reason our needs aren't met is because we're not doing something that God has asked us to do. Did you know that there are hindrances to us receiving the blessings of God? God wants His children to have blessings. I'm not going to go... next week I'll talk more about that and the hindrances to getting God's blessings. But this week I just want you to know that there are hindrances, and usually it's in disobedience in one area or another in our life. Okay? We'll talk about more about that next week. But did you know that Jesus talked more about finances than He did about heaven and hell? Did you know that 11 of the 16 parables that He spoke of have to do with finances? So here's the thing. You can tell where your priorities are by how you spend your money. I was talking to my nephew yesterday. We were at a thrift store. And he picked up a pair of jeans, and he said, in the last 5 years, I can count the number of pair of jeans that I bought in the last 5 years on one hand. And in the last 5 years, I can count the number of guns I bought on two hands. I know where his priorities are. He likes guns more than he likes pants. So you can tell a person where their priorities are by the way they spend their money. So I want us to look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 11. You're probably familiar with this passage of Scripture. But we're going to stand together and read this together. Read with me. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. You may be seated. So the question is, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust the Lord? Now let me just say this. I can truthfully say that I trust the Lord more today than I did 2 years ago. Okay? Trust is something oftentimes that has to be built in a person's life. We don't automatically, hopefully, if you meet someone, you don't automatically just trust them with everything. Okay? That would not be wise. However, because of who the Lord is, we can trust Him in everything. One of the things, you know, getting to know the Lord is learning how, the more you know Him, the more you're going to trust Him. Right? I used to work with individuals who were drug addicts, alcoholics. They would say something and make a promise or want to borrow money, and I would say, well, I'd say, no, I'm not going to give you that. What? You don't trust me? You don't trust me? Oh, yeah, I don't know you, so I'm not going to trust you. Okay? Trust has to be earned. Now, we can violate trust. As human beings, we can violate trust, and then people have a hesitancy to trust us again, especially in a marital relationship. If that trust is violated, if that trust is broken, it's very difficult sometimes to build that trust again. A person can build trust for 20 years and do one thing wrong, and it's like, oh no, it's got to start all over. Okay? We are fallible. We don't always get things right, but God is infallible, and He always does what is right. You can trust the Lord. Anything He says, you can trust. You can bank on it. And one of the things He says here in this passage of Scripture is, trust me, prove me, try me, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not pour out a blessing upon you. So the Lord wants to, for us to trust Him. I want to ask you a question. How much do you trust the Lord? Not enough. Okay, and I think all of us are in that same place. It's still a growing thing in me. I'm not a 10 yet in my trust level with the Lord. I ought to be, but I'm not there yet. So, first thing I want to talk to you about, there are some financial facts you need to know. Okay? The first financial fact you need to know is that God doesn't need your money. Okay? You need to know that. He doesn't need your money. Scripture says that He owns great herds of cattle. He's a dairy farmer. He's a beef cattle farmer. He has a bunch of cattle. In Psalm chapter 50, verse 10, it says, "For all of the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. So God doesn't need your money. In Job chapter 41, verse 11, it says, "Everything belongs to the Lord." Listen, "Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me." To me. Everything under heaven belongs to me. So does God need your money? He doesn't need your money. Everything belongs to the Lord. So the first fact is that God doesn't need your money. The second fact is that everything you possess belongs to the Lord. Okay? Everything you have at home, the car you drove, the land you bought, your clothes you wear, the money you have in the bank belongs to the Lord. I don't have any money in the bank. Well, that, you know, whatever it is in your pocket, it all belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. Everything you possess is a gift from God. Everything you possess is a gift from God. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day." So it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Okay? Who gave you the ability to go to work? God did. Who gave you the job that you are now employed in? God did. Now some of you are retired. Who's the one responsible for giving you the ability to retire? God did. Okay? So everything you possess is a gift from God. There's a passage of Scripture in Hebrews that says every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Okay? So how many of you have any good gifts at home? Yeah. Amen. Okay? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God has given you the ability to get wealth. He's given you the ability to obtain things in your life. Some of you have so much stuff you have to have a storage unit. Okay? Don't knock it. Yeah, he has some storage units. So he's okay with that. Jack's okay with that. But everything you have in that storage unit is a gift from God. Okay? It's a gift from God. We possess those things because God has given it to us. Now the third fact that you need to understand is that we are the stewards of God's resources. We are the stewards of God's resources. So, Isaiah, do you know what a steward is? Kinda? It's hard to explain. Okay. Kind of in the back of your head, you know? So a steward is one who is, and I'm going to read it because I can't say it either. A steward is one who manages or looks after another person's property. Okay? A steward is one who manages or looks after another person's property. Sort of like an investor. So if you have money and you give it to an investor, you're hoping that an investor will be wise with your investment and begin to dole it out wisely so that there would be a return on that investment, right? Okay? If you don't get a return on the investment, you're going to look for a different investor. So there's a passage of Scripture. If you will, this passage is quite lengthy, so I did not ask TJ to get this prepared. So if you will turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25:14-30. If you're using a pew Bible, tell us what page you're on. Well, we've got several different pew Bibles. 738 in one of the paperback ones. 402. Okay. So Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Now, whenever Jesus gave a lot of parables, and when he says the kingdom of heaven is like, then it's making a comparison or giving us some instruction about what heaven's, the way Jesus, the way God looks at things in the big picture. Okay? So he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents. And when it's talking about talents here, it's talking about financial resources. Okay? To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went, dug in the ground, hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's your talent. You can have it back. But this Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone, listen, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, in this passage of Scripture, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like God, the man that's going in a far country, the owner going to the far country, depicts God, and he gives to his servants, which are you and me, thank you, ladies, for helping her. Sometimes she gets choked, and it scares me when she gets choked because she has a hard time swallowing sometimes. So, God is the one that's depicted in this story as being the one who's going on to a far country. And he leaves behind some servants and he gives them some financial resources for his servants to invest in certain ways. Okay? We are the servants. We are the servants. Again, God has left every one of us some financial resources deposited into our account. And depending upon what we do with those resources, and let me say this, it's not just financial resources. It's time, it's gifts, it's talents, okay? And so God has given us all kind of things, material possessions. What are we doing with those? So he's everything that you have in your possession. I have a truck and I have a car and I have a home and I have a home full of stuff. Okay? It's been given to me by God so that I can use that for His honor and for His glory. We are the investors. God has given to us His resources for us to invest wisely. So, here's what you need to understand. What God wants us to invest in is the lives of people. Okay? The lives of people. He really doesn't care how much money you have in your bank when you die. Okay? Well, maybe he does care, because if you've got a lot, you probably should have used it in his ways. Okay? He really doesn't care. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be bragging about what kind of car you drive. Okay? So Somebody said when we get to heaven, we're going to be all going to be driving Hondas because we're all in one accord. All in one accord. Bad joke. Did you like it? But we, so God wants us to invest in people's lives because it's all about bringing people into His kingdom. That's what it's about. Now, there are people, there are churches, there are entities that are investing in people's lives in a lot of ways. Okay? You can go down, if you have a problem financially, I understand you can go down to CARE and you can get some help financially. Praise the Lord for them. Okay? If you have some other needs, you can go to these other entities and you can get help in these other areas. Praise the Lord for them. But I want to ask you a question. If they're not connecting people to Jesus Christ by the resources that they have, then what good is it? Is it eternal benefit or is it just a temporary benefit? Just a temporary benefit. Somebody in this church called me this week and said, I felt impressed by the Lord to give my clothes to this little girl. Some of my clothes to this little girl. And she said, it made me so joyful. Made me so joyful to be able to see that girl's expression on her face because she had very little clothes. And it's like, man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dawn was sharing with me a couple of weeks ago about situation. And I asked her if she would be willing to share that. And so, Dawn, I'm going to ask that you come share that at this time.
So last month, TJ and I, we went and saw Bethany, and she came home for the weekend. And the weekend that we went up there to go get her, it was my two friends and I. And God told me before we left, give somebody $5 or $10. I'm like, why? My husband and I are struggling. We don't have the finances to even give $5 to anybody. And he says, just do it. So I said, okay, I'm going to be obedient, and I did it. So we went over to go get Bethany. We went to Walmart. We're shopping in Walmart, and we're standing at the checkout line. And there was a woman that was bending over trying to get something from underneath the counter. There was a gentleman that was in front of her, dropped a jar of peanut butter. And she got on her hands and knees with her mirror or whatever she had, put it on the floor, and grabbed it and put it up on the counter. And God said, give it to her. I said, okay. So I went ahead and gave the lady $10, and she says, what's this for? And I says, because I was told to give it to you. She goes, well, thank you. And a couple weeks ago, my husband and I ordered a set of Cuisinart pan set. And it was $200. Well, we had the money in the bank. Well, we looked at the checking account to see if they had taken the money out yet, and $200 was deposited into our checking account. Well, that's kind of funny. Well, why we're getting $200, we don't understand, and it came from the company that we bought the pan set from. So we got the pan set the next day. TJ laid it out on the ground, looked at it, and he says, well, I know why they refunded our money. And I said, why? He says, it's because it's not the pan set we ordered. There was two different things in the pan set that we didn't order that we wanted, but we didn't get. However, that being said, we got the pan set for free because we were obedient, and I gave the $10 to somebody that I didn't have.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dad. And see, God blesses His children when they are obedient to Him. He always blesses them. He always blesses them. Some of you are tremendous givers. And God has blessed you over the years. And the reason He has is because you've been giving from your heart time and time and time and time again. Scripture says, give in Luke 6:38. I may not have gotten this up on the board. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So if you are measuring with teaspoons and giving, guess what you're going to get back? Teaspoons. If you're using shovelfuls and giving, guess what God's going to do? He's going to give back shovelfuls to you. Now, you need to understand something. Sometimes God pays better dividends than finances. Okay? Sometimes the dividends that He pays may be joy in your life. I mean, a lot of times we think that money's going to bring joy. And if you're giving to get money, you may be disappointed because your motive is not right. Okay? But if you're giving to please the Lord, then entrust Him with what He wants to give you. Entrust Him with the excess. Entrust Him with the resources that is in heaven that He wants to give to you. Just trust Him with that. What do you want to give? Lord, this is, I understand you want me to give this, so I'm giving it, and so I'm going to trust you to give me what I need. Not what I want, but what I need. Can you do that? Would you be able to trust God with trusting Him with what you need rather than what you want? Can you do that? Because sometimes it may not always be in financial resources. God says, I love you. Do you trust me? I love you. Do you trust me? Do you trust me enough to trade your sin for my righteousness? Do you trust me enough to let me direct your life? Do you trust me enough to put your finances into my hands? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Father, I come before you today. Lord, you have given many gifts into our hands, and even if I'm talking to you, there are things coming to my mind. Lord, sometimes even a words of encouragement is a gift from you. Words of encouragement can lift a person up. But oftentimes, perhaps through our words, we're tearing people down. God, that's a hindrance to you being able to bless us. Lord, we can either speak blessings or cursings. Lord, those are gifts from you because you want to bless people. You want to bless each other. Each of us are to bless one another. And so, Father, we come before you and ask, oh Lord, that we would be the great stewards of your tremendous resources. Whether it be words of encouragement, whether it be finances, whatever it may be, help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit so that we may be able to carry on your work. And we can do greater things than even Jesus did, according to your word. But Lord, we have to be open to your Spirit. We have to be empowered by your Spirit. And so today, Lord, we just come before you. And Lord, I pray for this congregation. And Lord, if there's been anything in our lives that has been that we've been holding back, we've been knowing that you want us to do something and we've been holding back, then Lord, I pray that today we would release that to you. You're not going to jerk it out of our hand, Lord. You're going to wait until we open our hands. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do in us and through us everything we need, everything you need today. We surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen.